I want you all to say this after me. Some of the healthiest people in Singapore today are in churches, and I am one of them. Amen. There was a survey done in America not too long ago. It's a secular survey. Thank you, musicians and singers. And in this survey, it came out in one of their leading papers. They made a survey of some very healthy people, and they found out that some of the healthiest people in America are people who attend churches. Isn't that wonderful? And I suspect if we do a survey in Singapore, you'll find some of the healthiest people in Singapore are in churches. Amen? And say this to your neighbor, smile your neighbors, I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Every time you partake of the Lord's Supper, every time you take the bread and the cup, not only you get stronger, you get younger. 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 And you become a baby. You know, I'm just kidding. Amen. The other day I woke up, one morning I woke up and my wife looked at my face. Oh, she says, there's a big pimple here. There's a pimple here on my face, another pimple here. And she said, let me squeeze. She said, no. I said, what happened? I said, God renewed my youth. Pray for God to renew my youth and pimples came out. No, I'm just kidding. But isn't God good? Amen. I want you to place your hand on your heart and be like a little child. If you are too smart, you cannot receive anything from God. I'm going to share with you some words that I believe is from God's Spirit. If you say it and you believe it, if you can believe these words, all right, it will make all the difference in the world about your faith operating at a high level. Say this, God is for me. God is not against me. That's the reason He gave His Son. Even while I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. It goes to show, God is not against me. God is for me. Because He loves me. Because Jesus died for me, God is on my side. God's righteousness is on my side. God remembers that He punished my sins in the body of His Son. God is faithful to His Son and what His Son has done. That He will never punish me because my sins have been punished. Today, God is out to bless me. He's not out to get me. He's out to bless me. Any troubles I have is not from God. God gives me the way out. He always shows me the way of escape because God is on my side. God loves me. He has my best interests and my family's in His heart. He wants me blessed more than I can ever know. God loves me and I believe it. Amen. Now you know what? If you really believe that, you've got it made. Amen. That's religion today teaches you many things that is contrary to what you just said. Alright, but what you said just now is the sum total of what God wants you to know in the entire new covenant. God really is all that and more. God is really for you. God has your best interest at heart. You know, every time we go away from His instructions, you know who loses out? Not God, we lose out. All the while He instructs us because He loves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. This morning, He's going to reset your heart. He's going to reset your focus, your attitudes in such a way, I believe this coming week, you'll be in for high adventure. Amen. With the Lord. I really believe that. I believe that you will have experiences in terms of flowing with God in a very practical way. And in fact, we have seen already tremendous manifestations of this. Even these past few days, I have seen tremendous blessings that come out of this message I'm about to preach to you this morning. Okay? You ready? The first thing you must know about God before we start into the message is this. God always has your best interests. at heart. When God says things, it's not for his benefit, it's for your benefit. All right? When you die, your life is cut short, you lose out. You know what? The whole world still spins. The rest of us will still be blessed. God will still be on his throne. He won't fall off. But you will lose out. No one loses when they break God's word. You cannot break God's word. God's word will break you. All right? No one can break God's word. And the only one that loses out is us. Okay? So the first thing God wants you to know is this, that he has your best interest at heart. When he instructs you, it is for your good. When he instructs you, all right, it's because he wants you to prosper. All right? So the first thing is this, Isaiah 48. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to
prophet.
Shout it out.
Prophet.
I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to
prophet.
It's all right to shout that word in church. Come on. To
prophet.
God wants you to profit in your married life, in your financial life, in your social life, in your relationships, in your walk with your children, in your health. He wants you to profit in every area. That's the reason he instructs you. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Amen. So one more time, say, God teaches me to profit. Put your hand on your heart. Say, God teaches me to profit. Now say, Father,
teach me.
Open my eyes,
open my
ears, give me a hearing heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe you are ready. Amen. And you know what? The sum total of everything that my ministry, my life, new creation church and all that, our emphasis, I believe every church is raised for a different focus and all that. And our focus is more doing, you know, very simply, abiding in Jesus. Doing that one thing needful. The Lord Jesus said, one thing is needful, all right, to sit at his feet and to hear his word. Now, I know there are many other things that's important, to help those who are less fortunate, to help the poor, doing charitable work, winning the lost, all right, casting out devils, healing the sick. But let me tell you this, all that will come about when you sit at his feet and listen to his word. That's the number one focus. Jesus said, one thing is needful. And many of us, we don't believe what he said. Or else, we really focus our entire energy on that one thing. And when Jesus said that, Mary was seated at his feet, and Martha was busy serving, and Martha came in and complained that the sister didn't help her. And Jesus said, Martha, you are troubled. You are too worried about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary chose the good part which shall not be taken away from her. So you must know one thing, all right? People who are always worried about many things is because they don't do that one thing. People who do that one thing are not worried about anything. And if we'll learn, I know every day, you're just like me, I'm just like you. We wake up and there's 101 things calling for our attention. All right, there are business things to do, there are, like for me, church things to focus on, people to call, this thing to settle, that thing to settle, this, I got a stack of things to sign every week. I mean, there's a lot of things to do, plus my own family life and other things. But you know what? I must always tell myself, Joseph Prince, one thing is needful. And I find that if I do that one thing, God takes care of every other thing in my life. And the devil's technique is always to start a fire somewhere in your life, and when you try to kill that fire, as it's dying, he starts another fire. And you start to stop that fire. As it's dying, he starts another fire. He has you around like ring a rosy game. You know, you go round and round, and the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't follow God's instruction. Forget about all the fires. Turn your back on what the devil is doing. I know there are areas to take care of. I know there are areas of trouble to focus on. But turn your back on them and do the one thing. Sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his word. Open up your Bible, say, Lord, speak to me. Do that one thing. And you know what? God takes care of all the fires all at once. All the many things you are troubled about will be no more trouble because you do the one thing. And the Lord will teach you to profit and lead you by the way you should go. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
Now, that's how Jesus said it in the New King James Version, Matthew 11. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He's talking to people under religious bondage. All right? Under the Pharisaical rules and regulations, the people who under the teachings of that day, they were heavy, they were bound, all right? And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. How many of you want rest? I will give you rest, Jesus said. Rest comes from Him. Then He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now notice, I will give you rest. Actually, all of us receive that rest when we come to Him in salvation. The moment you are saved, you have what we call given rest. But when you learn the ways of Jesus, you will find rest. One is rest is given. One rest is found. And the rest that is found is for your souls. Now, many believers, they have the rest of eternal salvation, but they don't have rest for their souls. Souls is your mind, your emotions, your heart. And there are believers who are saved and they are restful about that, but they have no rest for their minds. They are still troubled in their emotions. And Jesus wants to not only give you rest, but He wants you to find rest for your souls. Don't forget, the soul realm is the mind and the emotions. And He says the way you do that is to learn from me. Take my yoke. Say yoke. Upon me and learn from me. For my yoke is easy. Say my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Say my burden is light. Notice Jesus' yoke is not something to be frightened of. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. Easy. Light. Light. Easy. If you say you got a burden from the Lord and it's heavy, it's not my Jesus. If you got a burden and a yoke, you say, God gave me this responsibility, Pastor Prince, and you look like you're oppressed and depressed and suppressed and look very pressed. Alright? It is not my Jesus. Because His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Now that doesn't mean you don't work hard in something. I work hard for my sermons. I work hard in getting messages. But you know what? When I am involved in this, deep down in my heart, there's a rest and there's a lightness. That's the work of Jesus. He is so wonderful. Now let me show you the Message Bible. I like this translation of what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Especially one phrase. Now let's read. He says, are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Now, this is the one I love. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus has a rhythm. Bro, He's got a rhythm, man. And it's unforced rhythms. There's a rhythm to grace. And He says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? He says, get away with me, you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love it. I believe that this translator got that phrase from the Holy Spirit in this particular translation. Okay? In this particular verse. I can't say that the Message, everything is word for word translation, but this particular one, he got it from the Holy Spirit because it bears witness with my spirit. You know, there's a rhythm. Now look up here. What the Lord is saying basically is what is the theme of our church. What is the main focus of my ministry? It's just to flow with Jesus and not to focus on 1,001 things. Learn to flow with Jesus. You know, the picture He gives us, the Lord gives us, take my yoke on you during Jesus' time is the plowing the field illustration. Okay? Now all of you put your hand on your heart and say, blood, go to my brain. Don't just digest food. My wife told me, the reason I'm saying this is not because I see anybody sleeping, okay? My wife told me yesterday, you know, third service, people just ate. So all the blood go to the stomach, she says. I say, oh, I better pray for them. That all their blood will go to the brain as well, okay? No wonder they look like... No, I'm just kidding. So during Jesus' time, it's a picture of an older bullock. When they want to train a young bull to plow the field, they get an old bull. All right? And they put a wooden yoke. Okay? Come. Bend down with me. So, now, I can't be the older one, right? The sheer size demands he's the older one. All right? So, you have a yoke down here and a yoke on me. So, let's say I'm the younger one. All right? Now, he moves, I move. All right? If I stop and he move, it'll be a pain in my neck. All right? Now, if he stops and I move, it will pull my neck also, right? So if you turn left and I turn right, I want to turn right. I want to do it my way. I got to follow him. Because he's stronger. Got it? Now, when he drinks, he bends down and drink. I better drink. I don't say, come on, man, let's go to work, man. Don't be lazy. Come on. But he's bending down. I better flow with him, right? When he drinks, I must drink. Now, when he move, I better move. He turn right, I turn right. He turn left, I turn left, right? Left, right. All right, thank you very much. Praise God. Now, but the only difference is this. The idea is there, but the only difference is this. His yoke, Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. It will not drag on your neck. In other words, it's a flow. When the Lord, you know, where's my Bible? Oh, okay. When the, all of a sudden I realized, you know. When the Lord says, learn from me, what he's saying is this. When you see me doing something, now all of us experience this. How many of you experienced, like, for example, you know, there are times you feel a hunger to read the Bible. And the Bible is in front of you. Let's say you're watching TV, maybe break time or whatever. Then you feel a hunger. You just take the Bible, you open up, and all of a sudden, whatever you read, even a few verses, ministers life, refreshment to you. You ever experienced that? There are times you purposely open up the Bible and you try to read it, and you find there's no flow, there's no light. You know, it's the same thing. You know, when the Lord drinks, you drink. He gives you a desire, that means he's drinking from the word. You flow with him, and you find, you know what? You find refreshment. When the older ox is drinking, you better drink. You don't say, come on, let's go to work, man. Don't be lazy, come on. No, you better drink when he drinks. And that's why it's good for you to put your Bibles everywhere in the house. Put one in your car. Invest in Bibles. Put them everywhere. You never know when the flow comes. While waiting for your wife in the car, all right? Instead of just listening to radio all the time, just take a Bible and just open up when the flow is there. And you'll find you'll receive something that can nourish you for days sometimes. Because when the Lord is drinking, you will find light when you drink with him. And then you say, you feel a desire. Well, I think I'll open it later. Then later that night when you open, you know, your eyes like that. I mean, nothing happens. Why? Because when he drank earlier, you didn't want to drink. And now you're on your own. When you want to drink, he's no more drinking. There is a flow. There is an unforced rhythm of grace. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So it's good for you to put your Bibles everywhere, especially in the toilet. You have 2-3 toilets, put one Bible everywhere. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful time. Instead of looking at the floor and counting the cracks, all right? All right, open up your Bible. Amen. God is not threatened by your toilet behavior. God never, never, never will do this. All right? Can you finish first now, then come and talk with me in the toilet, in the study room, okay? I don't visit toilets. Trust me, he knows how you are made. He designed you. All right? God is not threatened, and he won't do what your wife do. Okay? And you know what is the best time? And some people, you know, they say, Pastor Prince, you know what? You should tell people to have a disciplined time. You know what? It's good for us all to have a disciplined time in God's Word. Whether it's during your lunchtime or early in the morning or at night, have a time of reading the Word. But you know what? During the whole day, here and there, follow the rhythm. If the Lord gives you a desire to read a certain portion, just open up your Bible and read. Amen. You'll find life. There's a reason he gives you a desire, that flow. Are you listening? Now, I don't carry weights all the time. I do when I have the time and exercise. I do carry some weights, okay? And but I've learned one thing about carrying weights. I was told, or this impression I received from those who are experts in this. They say that you cannot flex your muscle all the time. All right? You must have moments where you flex, moments where you relax. And then, not only that, you cannot exercise every day, say, if you want maximum result. You must learn to exercise and then rest. All right? Flex your muscle, days of exercising, then rest. And you'll have optimum results. Okay? Now, I checked with one of our brothers here, one of our leaders, who used to be a bantamweight number 2, Mr. Singapore. He was here in the earlier service. I said, is it true? He says, yes. Amen? No problem for him to carry his bride across the threshold. Amen. So you have moments where you can't tie a rope around your hand, flex all the time. I'm going to do this for 4 or 5 days and then I have a strong bicep. It doesn't work that way. Flexing all the time won't give you muscles. It'll give you a pain in your neck, in your shoulder, in your side. You must have moments where you flex, relax. Flex, relax. And the Lord is like that. There are times of work, there are times of rest. There are times of work, there are times of rest. When the Lord works, you work. When the Lord rests, you rest. Amen. Can I have a good amen? There are moments where we have concert, we have raising funds for NKF, things like that. We work, we flex, and then we rest. Amen. Now, by no means is it limited only to church services or church activities or ministries. God uses people all the time, everywhere, beyond the ministries in the church. But it's always a rhythm. Can I have a good amen? When God leads you, He wants you to prosper. Can I have a good amen? Now again, there is a flow when God leads you. God does not guide a parked car. If you park at the side, God cannot guide you. God guides a moving vehicle. Then He can tell you, turn right, turn left, move down here. Alright? You can't tell that to a parked car. You must only, you must move for God to be able to lead you. It reminds me of the time when I brought a leader back. In fact, we were on our way back from a retreat a few years ago from KL. And I was trying to find my way out because I got stuck in an industrial area in KL. And I had a deacon beside me. He was in my car. I was bringing him back as well. So we passed by this industrial area. I saw an Indian laborer and I called him to ask for directions out to find a highway to Seremban back to Singapore. So I asked him how to go, you know, highway to Singapore. Oh, no problem. He looks around. Yeah, you go straight, you turn right. I say, okay. After you turn right, you go straight. Okay. Then you turn right. I say, okay. Then you go straight, you turn right. Okay, I say, turn right three times, huh? Turn right, turn right, turn right. I came back to the same spot. No kidding. When I came back to the same spot, I said, where's the guy? He disappeared. And then, you know, this leader beside me had a wonderful revelation. He said, Pastor Prince, I think he gave us the wrong instruction. I was thinking, wow, you don't say, really? So I had to pray and ask God to lead me. I had to find a way out. It's amazing. You know, the children of Israel never found their way out. All because they didn't listen to God's instruction. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. W-O-W-A, don't forget, wandering, wandering. God brought them out, but God was not able to bring them in. All right, because they didn't want to listen to His instruction. They had their own ideas. And there are people in the church today, they have their own ideas of doing things. They have their own ideas about running a marriage, relationships and with their families, their physical life, their financial life. They have their own ideas instead of following God's instruction. But the Bible says God teaches us to profit. And He leads us by the way we should go. Amen, church? God always has our best interests at heart. And because we are smarter in some things, we got some education to prove it and things like that. We think that we know how to master some areas. You know, at the end of the day, it's not so much the talk. Talking the talk, it's walking the walk. It is the result. People look at our church, for example, New Creation Church, and there are people who give me this impression, all right? Like, they come to me and say, you're not supposed to have results like this. Number one, you're younger. Number two, you don't attend the Bible schools I attend. Number three, you don't have the education that I have. All right, you're not supposed to prosper. I am supposed to prosper, but how come you're prospering? All right, my answer is always this: because I am quote unquote silly enough to follow God's instructions. I'm not that smart to always say, yes, God has this way, but I got a better way. All right, I'm simple enough to say, you know, God's ways is best. Amen. And you know, somehow we because the smarter we are in the natural, the harder it is sometimes. It's hard for us to give up that idea. And that's why the Lord says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, the wisest man that ever lived besides Jesus and the richest man as well, Solomon says, I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Now years ago, right after, right after 9-11, the Lord gave me this verse, Ecclesiastes 9-11, about what happened 9-11, the World Trade Center thing. Alright? And He gave me the next verse. You tell me whether it describes the World Trade Center thing or not. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Now, how many want to be in a place where you are the wrong place at the wrong time? The Bible says these men, they are caught like in a cruel net. It was a cruel net, wasn't it? All right? They are like birds caught in a snare. By the way, when you're caught in a net, don't forget, swim downwards. Downwards. Swim down. By the way, that's from Finding Nemo, okay? For those of you who are wondering what's happening. And the Bible says, It happened suddenly upon them. Why? Because the Bible says in the previous verse, verse 11, you know, time and chance happen to all these people. We think the race is to the swift, the battle is to the strong, the bread is always given to those who are smart, and riches always given to men of intelligence, of high IQ, and favor given to men of skill. But no, my friend, it's time for us, look at me, time for us to wake up and realize here in Singapore, it is not true that just because you are a U-grad, the best jobs, the top positions, the highest pay is yours. It's not true. It's time for you to wake up and realize, yes, education is important. If you're studying, do the best you can. But you know what? Wake up and realize it's a myth to think that because you are a graduate, you have all these high qualifications, that means the best job, the best paying job. The truth of the matter is there are people less skillful than you, less qualified than you, who are in higher positions getting more pay. Working less hours sometimes. The Bible itself says, all right, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not won always by the strong. David wasn't. And bread is not given to men of high IQ, nor riches come to people of great intelligence, but time and chance happen to them all. And my friend, that means God can put you at the right place at the right time. With all our intelligence, with all our high IQ and all that, we cannot put ourselves at the right place at the right time. There are people, you know, who bought a plane bound for disaster, and you know what? They have the highest IQ. You know, friend, we need God. It's best we become like little children, humble ourselves, and tell ourselves you need God more than you'll ever know. Because only God can hold time and chance in His hands. Can I have a good amen? Now, the word chance is unfortunate in the English because, time and chance happened to them all. The word chance there, in the chance happens, let me give you the Hebrew, okay? The word there is kara. And the word kara means this: right place, right time. Time and chance happen to them all. God put you at the right place at the right time. Can I have a good amen? Come on. And the first time this verse appears, kara, is not chance. Look at the way it appears the first time in the Old Testament. It is the servant of Abraham. Remember Abraham's servant was given the assignment of fetching a wife. He has to look for a wife for his master's son Isaac. And then he was at the well of water, and here there are daughters, unmarried ladies, coming to the well to draw water. And he knows one of them only can be the one. But who is the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? He doesn't know, isn't it? So he prayed this prayer. All right, he prayed this prayer. Oh Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. Now the word success is the same Hebrew word as the word chance happens. It's the word kara. Notice here it's spelled as success. That means what? Right time, right place. Let the girl that you have for my master's son be the girl that comes and do this kind of thing. Right timing, right place. And out came Rebecca. Remember that? And God stopped the other girl from coming out. You know, probably, you know, something happened, you know, a glass dropped, something, they were doing something. Only one girl came out, and it was the one that God chose for Isaac. Okay? In other words, right timing, right place. He prayed, give me success. Down here is spelled as, in your New King James, as success. And the word there is the same word as time and chance happens to them all. Kara. And show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Okay, look up here. In other words, it's not true that just because we are smart, all right, we get the best deals. Some people get the best deals because they were at the right place at the right time. Sometimes a company has more to offer and better deals, you know, than another company. But the company that has more expensive products may get the business compared to you. God's favor, God's timing, God's success is very important. Amen. You know, even in the natural world, there was a guy, a true story of a man who used to drive a truck. And as he drove this truck, he'll be singing, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah." And finally, one day he was driving, he was singing, somebody discovered him, told him to go for an audition. And he won the audition. Amen. His name is Elvis Presley. Amen. He was a truck driver. When he discovered, again, time and chance happened to him. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I was reading the Straits Times about this particular guy who was a wedding singer, paid by the hour. In other words, wedding singers, you know, they sing songs like, "Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to see me cry?" And they are paid by the hour. You know, they are paid by the hour. It's not exactly a lucrative job, but he had a chance to sing at this Prime Minister's of Canada, I think, his daughter's wedding. So he went to sing, and the rest is history. Today he's a famous singer, and he's making millions of dollars compared to what he was drawing, all because he was discovered at a wedding. Again, time and chance happen to them. Amen. My wife told me, she read an article not too long ago. You know who? Richard Clayderman? Dum, 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 don't be so dumb. Dum, 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 don't be so dumb. You know, so. Okay. My wife told me that actually Richard Clayderman's skills, all right, is not exactly like the kind of like concert pianist at that kind of repertoire, that kind of level, you know. They said he's a very average player. But what happened to him is time and chance happened to him. Now, if that is true, but for this kind of people, you know, we can call it luck or whatever, it's still time and chance. How much more for us who know the one who holds time and chance in his hands? He can make things happen to you because he's the one that is happening, man. And he can make happenings happen to you. And when happenings happen to you, you are happy. Amen, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got to learn to flow with God because God can bring us at the right place. God stops, don't go ahead of Him. If God stops, you stop. If God moves, you move. Can I have a good amen? The wonderful thing about God is this. He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Somehow there's this idea in Christianity that is wrongly taught. Many a time it sounds like God's desires are always clashing with us. Always. You want to go this way, God want to go that way. It's always clashing. And you got to learn to obey God. You got to learn to obey God. You know what? You know what I found most of the time? 90% or 95%. In fact, I'm not accurate. I think 99% of the time. My desires and God's are the same. In fact, God put His desires in my heart. And that's the truth of the new covenant. I'll put my laws in their hearts. And on their minds, I'll write them. That means God will make you want to do the things He wants you to do. Now, how hard it is. How hard is it for you to do things like this? First, God puts intense hunger in your stomach for food. And He puts real good food in front of you. Amen? Filet mignon. Okay, with all the sauces that you like. In front of you. And then God says, "This is my commandment. Eat." How hard is it? How hard is it for you? There are moments you look at your wife or your child and you feel like kissing them. There's this desire. Then God appears and God says, "This is my command to you. Kiss them." How hard is it? That's exactly the new covenant commands of God. It's not like the old covenant. For it is God who works in you the willingness and the desire and the performance of it. God's biddings today are His enablings. Amen. We got to learn to flow with God. But there's this religious teaching that makes you think that you cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your desires in your heart. Because your heart is desperately wicked. Now, where is that verse from? It's from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. But it's not true for believers because God promised for us to have the new covenant. Jeremiah's time was not the new covenant yet. In fact, it was Prophet Jeremiah that prophesied the new covenant. We are people of the new covenant. And the new covenant, God says, "I'll put my laws in their hearts. I'll give them the desire to want to do it." If you feel like blessing a brother, do it. Don't worry about the results. You feel like calling up someone, do it. Pick up the phone, call that person. Amen. And I want to see a church that is encouraging one another. You feel like calling, Pastor Brim, may not be God, may not be. Pick up the phone, call. You got a desire? Trust is God. A great man of God once said this: love God and you can do whatever you want. Now you're afraid of that statement? Don't be, because when you love God, God puts His desires in your heart. And you know what? We got to have more trust in the new covenant. A girl may come to me, and you know what, there are people come to me down through the years and say, "Pastor Prince, I've been praying, been fasting for a number of days, a number of months sometimes for this thing." I say, "What is it?" "I desire to work among children, but I'm not too sure, Pastor Prince. Is this God's will? Is it not God's will?" You ask some questions like this: how long has it been? Because time is always a good test. Right? Well, it's been a number of months. And every time you come to worship God with the church? Is it stronger or weaker? Oh, it gets stronger. Every time you spend time reading the Bible, is it stronger, the desire? Yes. Don't waste your time. It's God. Go for it. Amen? Now, you must allow time. Don't just be a desire comes, you act. Every desire comes, you act. Hallelujah. You know? A first date. You like the girl. You like me or not? Oh, you like me? Let's get married, baby. And then a few years later, you got to sing that. Like, do you really want to hurt me? Amen? So we got to learn the desires in our heart are placed there by God. And how does God bear witness with you? The word the Spirit Himself bears witness is, that means there's an action executed. Then the Holy Spirit can bear witness. If there is no action, what is there to bear witness? You sit down, do nothing, what's there to bear witness? If you are summoned to court to be a witness, that means you are there to bear witness to an action. That's why God cannot guide a parked car. Only when you're moving. Let me illustrate. Let's say you're looking for a job. You know, do something, call up. Can I sit down there every day? 8 a.m., open a, your Straits Time classified ads. God, you know everything. You know which job is for me. There are hundreds of jobs here. Zam, zam, ala kazam, you know. God, speak to me, Lord. Which one, Lord? Which one? Lord, which one? Your laugh, I'm telling you, this is what charismatics do. Lord, which one, Lord? Which one? Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. 8 a.m., right? Fast forward, 8 p.m., still there, Lord. Which one, Lord? That's what will happen. It's not that God is not speaking. It's not His style. That's not His way. His way is that look at the job with eyes open, you're right? Be alert. Look at what kind of jobs you like because the desire's there, all right? Most of the time it's planted by God. But you're not too sure. There are 3-4 jobs. Go for the 3-4 interviews during those few days, whatever. And as you go and you sit in front of that potential boss, as he interviews you, you can tell, you know, the environment, the person, the kind of job offer, whatever, you can feel it like this. Nice feeling, or the constipated feeling. If you feel, that means what? It's not God. Very simple. Then go to the next interview. As you go, God guides you. Notice that? And a spirit bears witness means you must have an action for him to say yes or no. And then you go to the next job and still the same thing. Looks good, everything sounds good, but there's a feeling. Go to the third job, sometimes the place looks run down, but you feel You can understand, you understand, you flow with Jesus. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. And you know what? My job last time was in an environment you can smell salted fish because they cook it downstairs. And then it was a place that was run down, but that was the place that got me the top 5% of top income in Singapore for people my age. All right, same job, same place. But when I went for interview, it was so run down. All right, it's no more run down, thank God. You know, it's really something, if we go by our sight, our intelligence will never know how to flow with God. We'll learn that God, you know, keep things simple. God is not hard. When God stops, you stop. When God moves, you move. How do I do this, Pastor Prince? Number one, you must, now, God spoke to me in the first service, right at the end. He said this to me, tell the people this. All right, if they have a desire to flow with me, I will teach them. All right, God does not instruct people, all right, who have no desire. If you have a desire, if my sermon can produce in you a heart's desire, I want to flow with God because God's instructions are always in my best interest. If that can be accomplished in your heart, you know what? If you desire that, God will teach you. You don't need to read books on how-tos and have more confusion. All right, if you have a desire, 90% of the battle is won. God will teach you. God will instruct you. Are you listening? And God always teaches the prophet. Amen. There was a time, I mean, even for battle strategy, Joshua looked at the indomitable walls around Jericho. It was huge. They have chariot races on the walls. And God gave him very silly sounding instruction. Think about it. Silly sounding. God says, turn around, walk around the wall. Okay. Next day, walk again. All right. Turn right. Turn right. God bless him. And then on the seventh day, God says, shout, right? The final day, God says, shout. And what happened? They just obeyed. They just obeyed. Does it sound silly? Think about that. If you are with them, you walk around the walls. People are looking down at you. They might be spitting at you. They might be throwing stones. They might be laughing, right? Every day, just go around. Circle the wall. On the seventh day, God says, shout. not even fight, not even use battering rams. Shout! And all the walls came collapsing. Hallelujah. And that's the real battle. Before you have the prophet, the walls collapsing. The real battle is to overcome what is silly to your intelligent mind. Quote unquote intelligent. You know, we think we are smarter. But what's going to happen if we follow our own instruction in that case? There will be no victory. Look at another scenario. There was a man who needed healing. His name was Naaman. He was the captain of the Syrian army, the enemy of Israel. And then he heard no one can help him in his Syrian country. He went to Israel to look for a prophet named Elisha. He brought his whole army with him. He's the captain. And the man of God didn't even want to face him. The man of God says, go to the river Jordan, dip 7 times, you'll be okay. And he felt so insulted. Read your Bible. Naaman, the captain, felt insulted. He says, why should I dip myself in the dirty river Jordan? This is what he said. On the rivers of Damascus better. And those of you who have been to Israel, you've been with me. All right, we have seen the river Jordan. It is dirty. All right, muddy. It's not big. Singapore River is bigger. And that's the river where a lot of things has happened. Christ was baptized in that river. And you know what the prophet says to Naaman? Go and dip 7 times in the river Jordan. He says, why can't I dip myself in my home rivers? They are bigger and better. He mentioned a name. One of them is Abana. Another name, I forgot. You know, he mentioned those names in Syria. Why can't I dip myself there? But you know what he did finally? There's no compromise. It sounds silly. All of God's instructions to our so-called intelligent mind. But he overcame that. Then he went to the river, right? And all his men must be parked by the side of the bank. When he went to the river Jordan, he went inside. Boom, this captain. One. All those at the side. This is really weird. Boom, twice. Think about it. Be there. 3 times. Boom. He says, can I stop it the 5th time or not? Boom. No, 7 times, the prophet said. The man of God, God says 7 times. Boom. Just think about it. 6, then 7 times. And the Bible says his flesh, he was, by the way, he was a leper. Alright? And his flesh became like that of a baby's. Baby complexion. Clean. Amen. Notice the battle is to overcome that so-called silliness. But God's instructions always lead to profit. Hallelujah. Amen. In the new covenant, we have fishermen fishing the whole night. And then Jesus passed by. Jesus says, throw your nets on the right side, you'll catch. Let down your nets for a big catch. And then Peter says, Lord, we have worked all night, we caught nothing. But since you say so, we'll let down the net. Jesus says, let down the nets, plural. We'll let down the net. We'll just do what you say. And you know what? When they caught so much fish, the nets begin to break. That's why the Lord says, let down the nets. God always has big things for you. We limit him. And you say, I'll let down the net, singular. Read the Bible carefully. It says, I'll let down the net. And the net broke. And finally, he got all the fish into the boat. The boat started to sink. He must call for help. That's the kind of blessing God wants you to have. But it sounds silly. We work the whole night. Whole night? What does it mean to throw the net one more time? Does it make a difference? Yes, if God instructs you. God always leads you to profit. Whether in your health, whether in your business, or in the fishing industry. Amen? And don't forget, if you are caught in a net, swim down. Hallelujah! So God teaches us to profit and leads us by the way we should go. And always remember this, time and chance, right happenings is in God's hands. And for that, we need to depend on God all the time. Amen? Now, we all have fixed schedules in our life. And the danger is that we depend on those schedules instead of on the Lord. Now, schedules are there because it gives us some mental sanity and stability, you know, for our schedules. For example, Saturday is my rest day. Saturday, I must rest. All right, if I don't rest well on Saturday, if I go out and drink teh tarik with people and fellowship and all that, I can't really do well for 4 services in terms of my strength. I can preach a good message, but I'll be very, very tired. I don't like that kind of feeling. I like to be fresh. So I must rest. So I don't socialize for Saturday. I try to, you know, be very quiet, be very restful on Saturday. But what happens when most of the time it's like that, but the Lord says to you one Saturday, God says, come, I want you to do this with me. All right, like yesterday, he told me this. I want you to bring your child out, Jessica, who is 3 and a half now, and play with her. Now, I don't do that on Saturday, you know that? All right, I don't bring her out. I play with her at home, if I can, because going out is tiring. And not only that, I brought her to Escape Theme Park, my first time, and her first time. And not only that, Wendy didn't come along. It's only father-daughter thing. And sometimes it's really good, guys, to just bring your child and you without the mother. Because I find that when the mother is along, usually the child talks to the mother most of the time, you know, and I'm just a driver. It's very natural for things like that. You don't get a chance to talk to the child often, you know, and I find that when the mother is not around, she talks to me more, you know, and I enjoy that. All right, so there must be moments whereby, you know, the mother doesn't come, just me and her. All right, and there's no problem. I can bring her to the toilet. All right, the only thing I can't do is that, I can't do well is that, I can't tie her hair properly. By the end, when she saw her mother in the evening, her hair was all over the place, you know. Because every time I tie, the whole thing comes out again. Tie, the whole thing loosen again, you know. Well, Pastor Prince, I would have you know, God doesn't go to theme parks. Oh yeah, he was there. He was there. What do you think? He stays outside and says, hey, you're going. I don't go to such places. You're going, I'll stay outside. No, he never leaves me nor forsake me. Yes. Can I have a good amen? Yes. Amen. But religious ideas will cause you to have an idea that, you know, no, you must do religious thing or whatever. But there are times the flow comes, follow God. And I had a wonderful time with Jessica. Amen. You know, there was a great, wonderful man of God, great man of God, Terry Law, who wrote that famous book, The Power of Praise and Worship. God raised this man up to teach on praise and worship. And he lost his wife at an earlier part of his life, and he has very young kids. And being a widower and all that, one day, instead of cooking breakfast, the Lord told him, I want you to go to McDonald's. All right? And he thought, I mean, he felt the prompting, go to McDonald's. No, Pastor Prince, God doesn't do McDonald's. Now, there you go, your religious spirit again. You miss out on what God, and God can, you know, lead you in anything. So he said, okay, kids, today, daddy is not cooking breakfast. We are going to McDonald's. He went to McDonald's, and guess what? He met his future wife and the new mother. Amen? Now they are married for years already. Hallelujah. So guys, if you're single, don't forget McDonald's. Right now, McDonald's. Amen? Now, you know, even in the area of relationships and all that, if it's by choice, you want to remain single, okay, we must respect that choice. No one can impose that on you. Doesn't mean that you must be attached to be successful in life. Doesn't mean that. All right? But if you are looking for a partner and all that, no point writing to the church and saying this church is very cold, all right, because other people complain it's too warm, too friendly. You know, people call you all the time or whatever. You know, you don't sit down there and say, you know, I have no friends and all that. The Bible says he that has friends must show himself friendly. And God's way is not for you to sit down there and say, God, which one is it, Lord? There is Rebecca, there is Mary, there is Rachel, there is Lisa. Which one? They're all from new creation, not married. That's not God's way. Amen. They expect God to speak like, God, which one, Lord? Which one? I write down their names for you, okay, God? Oh, Lord, speak to me, Lord, which one? Is it Lisa? Is it Mary? Or Lisa Mary Presley? Which one? That is Elvis' daughter, by the way. Which one is it? Which one? That's not the way God works. How many know the way God works is like this? You get involved in the church. You get involved in attending services. You get to know people. Attend care groups. Amen. You're a young adult, attend young adults. Amen. And you know what? Get to know people. Get to know, because you know what? Not to find a wife or a husband, but get involved, because when you're in the presence of people, that's when God guides you. The problem sometimes, I don't blame the charismatic church sometimes, because they always hear testimonies from the pulpit of that spectacular guidance. And there was one particular minister, great man of God. He has one of the top, if not the top ministries right now in America in terms of healing and all that. And God is using him mightily. And I don't blame him. He cannot but share his testimony because it's real in his life. It happened to him. But the problem is that a lot of people think that's the way God guides. For example, he said this. He's been dating this particular girl for quite some time now, but he's not sure she's the one. Okay? So he was on his way back on a flight somewhere, and he says this, Lord, if she's the one, she's coming to the airport to fetch me. If she's the one, make her bake a cheesecake. Now, ladies, write down, cheesecake, don't forget, cheesecake. All right? They bake a cheesecake. And guess what? That girl was waiting for him with a cheesecake. Today, they're happily married. She's a great support to his ministry. And you know, he cannot help but share the true testimony. That's what happened to him. But how many of you know that is very unique? That's not the norm. You can say cheesecake, no cheesecake. I mean, poor thing, you're left on that. You don't even appear. That's not the way God was. Not the norm. Please understand that. There's another great man of God, tremendous man of God. And these are men I really admire. All right, I don't blame them. But again, a few of them have spectacular testimonies. And this guy in particular shared about how he walked into a service one day. He was a visiting speaker. He looked, and when he walked in, he saw the lady playing the piano. And God spoke to him and says, she's the one. At the end of the service, he invited her out for a drink. She went out there and he told her, you are the one. Today, they're happily married. He has a tremendous ministry that people just laugh under his ministry. Spectacular. Amen. I mean, God used... The man cannot help but share his testimony, isn't it? It's true of his life. But how many of you know that's not the norm? You don't go to a girl after service and say, God said you're the one. Then she say, I don't care or not. But you are the one! But I don't want! Anyway, follow her around. Follow him around somewhere. You're the one, you're the one, you're the one. I don't want! That's not the way God works. Now, in that testimony, God worked something in the girl's heart. When he asked her for a drink, she was willing to go. That was a sign. Amen. So God will always prepare the other person. And you cannot insist, you know, God, possibly this is how God works. God show me, then I go to the person. And the person has no choice. No, God will speak to the other person. If God doesn't speak, brother, it ain't happening. It ain't God. Amen. No point pushing it. Hallelujah. God prepare your heart, then God says, oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to prepare her heart. God doesn't do things like that. God is not forgetful. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Now, you know, God's not going to prepare her heart to the point that the moment you say, you are the one, she says, yes, baby, I've been waiting. No, not to the extent. But at least there's an initial response. You know that? There is a response. At least she's willing to go out for a drink or just go and just talk to you or whatever. You know, there's a bit of preparation. But if there's nothing, she says, I can't imagine myself being attached to you, okay? Take the cue. And don't be discouraged, for there are many fishes in the sea. And ladies, don't be discouraged. There are also many fishermen in the sea. Amen? God's way is not for you to sit down there and complain. Nobody comes to you. Nobody is friendly to you. Nobody wants to make friends with you. He that is friendly will have friends, the Bible says. Amen. Don't wait for somebody to smile at you. Smile at them first. Amen. You be friendly first. Get involved in doing something. Amen. Get into the car and start moving. Where to go? Don't know. Let's go. God will guide us. Amen. That's the way God works. Can I have a good amen? Amen. And you know, if you're alert, the Bible says that, you know, we all have this idea of, again, to sit our child down. For example, Bible time. Okay, Bible time. Sit down here. Okay, you sit down there. Don't move. The cane is here. You watch it. Okay, you move. Okay, Bible reading time. Shh. All right. Let's learn this. For God, say for God. So love. The world. Okay. We have this idea, and I'm exaggerating to prove a point. There are people who believe that's the kind of family time you gotta have. But you look at the Bible carefully, God says follow the unforced rhythms of grace. You know, there's a way of teaching your child without having to impose on them some rigid program which they'll dislike. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The Bible says it this way in Deuteronomy. You will teach my words to your children when you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit down, when you walk in your house. What is that speaking of? In your natural daily life. There are opportunities you can watch out for to teach your children. Amen. Learn to flow with Jesus. Now, if you are alert to Jesus leading you and guiding you, you'll find Him teaching your children through you. Yesterday I had this experience. I was with Jessica, just two of us, father-daughter thing. It was fun. I tell you, she's quite famous. She was sitting somewhere here and people, I don't know where they're from, you know, two couples rather. Can I take a picture? Can I take a picture? Take a picture with Jessica and their kids, you know? They don't want me. They want Jessica. Anyway, I brought her to a certain stall where they have, like, you know, you throw balls and you win toys. Now, Jessica normally, she's not the kind of want everything she sees. She knows that we don't buy everything she wants. All right, she knows that. We told her that before. Now, she's about 3.5 years old. And but she liked that soft toy in that particular shop, that particular store. And she said, Daddy, I like that toy, you know? Now, I had no heart to tell her, you cannot buy that toy. You must win the toy. So I paid $2 to try to win the toy. Didn't tell her that. So $2, you get 3 balls. Okay, $2, three balls. And two balls must go in to win the toy. Okay, so there was one guy, you know, he looked like he can do it. I know, guys, the trick is to throw it at the side if you can. I threw at the side also. And this guy looked like he can do it. All the three balls bounced. All came out. So when I tried the side, you know, tried all the techniques, all the three balls came out. So Jessica, let's go. Hey, Daddy, I like that toy. I like that toy, Daddy. I said that, but you cannot buy, you must win, you know. Then she looked at me. Oh, you didn't win, Daddy. That means you didn't win, Daddy. You didn't win, right? She says, I said, yeah, I didn't win. You must win. So, I mean, of course, I didn't like that, isn't it? So I turned around real fast. I prayed a prayer to my Heavenly Father. I said, Father, this is what I prayed. I said, Father, give me success. I said, give me success, I said. I said that I want to look good to my daughter. My last final line was this, make me a hero in her eyes. In Jesus' name, I ask. All right, so I paid another $2 for another three balls. Now, anything beyond $4 is not worth it for that toy. All right, so $2, three balls, you know. I threw the first ball with all the tech and the skill that I can master. It came out, rolling out. Oh my goodness, last two. And the last two went in, both. And she got her toy. And she says, hey, she was so happy. And I turned around and said, Father, thank you. Now, who says he doesn't come in to theme park with you? Amen? Now, this is the thing I want to share with you. Later on, we had a downtime, of course, because it was quite hot and all that. So I brought her somewhere to rest under the shade, to drink and all that. Then she remembered the earlier event. She said, Daddy, Jesus is with us, right? I said, yes, he's with us. And she thinking, but earlier Jesus didn't help you, right? Now watch. Watch this. Okay, watch this. What do you say to that? Now that's a wonderful opportunity. All right? I said, you're right. Jesus didn't help me, right? Then what did Daddy do? Daddy prayed. After Daddy prayed, what happened? Jesus answered. And Jesus gave me this, he said. I said, yeah! Now, church, I didn't have a Bible, I didn't have chapter and verse ready, but that's what the Bible means when it says, when you rise up, when you walk, when you sit, when you rest. In your daily affairs, follow the unforced rhythms of grace. Amen? Learn to be alert. Now, I know that all of you love your children. I'm not suggesting at all you don't love your children. Okay, but what I'm saying is this. There are people who love their children and they can answer you like this. I love my children. Why do you think I work overtime? To send them to school and all that. All right, they'll fight you. And that's not the thing. If you have younger children, they spell love as T-I-M-E. And another thing is this. It's not enough to love them with all your heart. It's important to pay attention. Because when you pay attention, there are moments that God gives you for the unforced rhythms of grace. To instruct them, to teach them. Are you listening? You take time to flow with God. Now for me, again, taking time with her yesterday, what a rich ministry I have today. If I say, I don't go out, I don't do things like this on Saturday. All right? If the Lord tells me to go out with her, guess what? He has a high adventure in store for me and her. Plus the fact that she and me are closer as a result. Are you listening, church? God does things like this. It's us, you know, who put barriers and think, no, God, this is my style, this is my way of doing things. And sometimes we are so rigid, God can't even come in and change our plans. Don't speak to me now, Lord. I'm praying. Isn't it amazing? And there are times God will tell you, you know, spend, you know, this evening, all right, put the kids somewhere. You and your wife go and watch a movie. Well, Pastor Prince, God won't tell you to do things like that. Again, we're not flowing with God. God can tell you to do things like this. Amen. You know, for a while now, God been telling me to go to bed. I don't go to bed early, all right? And I don't get up early also. I go to bed very late and get up a bit late. That's my style for years now. But not too long ago, the Lord told me, go to bed early, get up early. And you know what He told me to do? Go and have breakfast with my wife. And I've been having breakfast with her every morning. I wake up at 7 plus nowadays and go and have breakfast with her. You know what? In this short time, I got to know her better, more intimate. I already know her well. I got to know her better. We have a wonderful time. We look forward now to a breakfast together. Now, does that mean, okay, tomorrow, breakfast, ah? You breakfast me, I breakfast you. Understand? You better obey or I break you real fast. That's not the way, okay? Everyone will have different instructions. And what is wonderful at different seasons of your life, the Lord has a flow, and then you follow Him. And that's what makes our Christian life really exciting. It's really wonderful to flow with God. Are you listening? Now, we are winding down. Let's look at this scripture verse, last verse, Psalms 32. I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. Eyeball connection. God says you keep your eyes on Jesus and He will guide you with His. God says you keep your eyes on Jesus and He will guide you with His eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Now don't be like the horse, God says, or don't be like the donkey. They must have what? Bit and bridle. To either pull them back or to pull them forward. Now the horse problem is this. The horse always goes too fast. God is going at this pace, the horse goes shoo! Okay, God says, go. Yes, Lord! Boom, gone. To Africa to preach. 1 year later, he came back. Bleeding everywhere. Lord, what happened, Lord? You told me to go and I went. And I'm now fresh after a fight with a lion. What happened, Lord? Lord says, I said, go to New Creation Church. You didn't wait. You ran too fast. All right, some of us are like that. We go too fast. If God doesn't give me the miracle, bless God. Hagar will do. And Abraham slept with his maid called Hagar and produced a child. Until today, both descendants are still fighting. All because Abraham cannot wait. And Sarah also. All right? Like a horse. Somehow too fast. You know, don't forget, God's instructions is always for our good. It's for your profit. If God seems slow, maybe God is trying to slow your heartbeat before you get a stroke. I'm serious. Some people, when God slows down, they're too hyper. They want, God, you're too slow. You know, I must help you. Amen. On the other hand, God says, don't be like the horse and don't be like the mule. What's a mule? A donkey. Hee-haw. Hee-haw. Amen. Turn to your neighbor's mind and say, Hee-haw. You gotta pull the guy. God is moving, all right? And God goes back, hey. Hee-haw! Ha hee ha hee! Hee-haw! And usually the hee-haw is more like God tells you to do something. He said, what if? What if? What if? What? What if? He rejects me. What if? It's not a job that I will be so disappointed. What if? I experience rejection. What if I fail? What if? Hee-haw! You gotta pull up. For the horse, the bit and bridle is to pull back. Alright? For the hee-haw, the bit and bridle is to pull forward. Alright? Now, our problem is this. Either we get ahead of God or we are too slow. Amen? But what we learn today is to be yoked together. Learn to flow with Jesus. There's an unforced rhythm of grace. Amen. God says, I'll guide you with my eye. I shared one of the services. My wife can guide me with her eye across a crowded room. Let's say I eat buffet, eat a lot right now. Okay, I look at her. She look at me. One look only. Pull back. Real fast. Amen. When she turned her back, no, I'm just no. That's why you see nowadays. Amen. And, you know what? I mean, you're experienced that, right? I mean, just one look only, you know. All right? Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't do that. You know, just one look. That shows closeness, isn't it? Amen? And that's the kind of relationship God wants you to have. You cannot look at someone's eye until you're looking at them. So God wants you to keep your eyes always on Jesus. So when He looks at you, you know. You know what He wants. Can I have a good amen? And you won't be like the horse, and you won't be like the hee-haw. And all the people said, now, Pastor Prince, what if I don't flow with God? Honestly, I hate to say this because, you know, we're really enjoying ourselves in the things of God because the things of God are really enjoyable. But I must be honest with you, all right? In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 and 12, we saw the verse 12 where it says that men are caught. Go back to Ecclesiastes 9, transparency lady. Wake up, hello. unforced rhythm of grace. Verse 12. For man also does not know his time, right? Like fish taken in a cruel net. Now, the devil is cruel. If you don't flow with God, there are times, not always, don't worry about it, but there are times it may cost. It may be very costly. That's all I'm going to say. It can be very costly. All right? There are times, you know what? Like, for example, I have testimonies, even from this church, where someone is supposed to have bought the Silk Air from our church. All right? The Lord guided the person. Everything was prepared already, and the person didn't bought it. Now, how many know, in that particular case, it was life and death? In some cases, it's a matter of life and death. In some cases, you know, we lose great amounts of money. In some cases, we lose our morality. David lost his morality because he didn't discern God's time. Ecclesiastes 3 says God makes everything beautiful. Ecclesiastes 3, wake up. God makes everything beautiful in his time. The first line, can you see that? God makes everything beautiful, church, in his time. Now look at me. It says very clearly in God's word that if you follow God's timing, everything will become beautiful. God's timing. Now again, some of you say, well, Pastor Prince, that's only for a few. No, today, if you have a desire, God will put you there. That's all. If you have a desire to follow God's rhythm, God's flow, all right, to be in the know, in the flow, God will put you there. Regardless of how smart you are, how intelligent you are, or how lacking in those things you are. You have nothing to do with those things. If you have a desire, God will lead you. God will guide you. Now, David, in 2 Samuel 11, had this problem. The Bible says, it happened in the spring of the year. At the time what? When kings go out to battle. It was a time for kings to go out. Is David a king? Church, is David a king? But what did David do? David sent Joab and his servants instead. Right? And the last line says, David remained at Jerusalem. So Joab went. Is Joab a king? No. But the time came what? Kings go out to battle. David was supposed to go out and fight. But David stayed back. What happened next verse? Then it happened one evening. David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. Now we know her name, Bath. Because she took a bath, isn't it? Her name is Bathsheba. Right? And someone says, you know, Pastor Prince, Bathsheba should not be bathing down there. No, she never knew that the king will be at his his balcony because he's supposed to be out in battle. The king's balcony overlooked her house because, you know what? I've been to Israel. The last time we were there, we were at King David's palace area, and it's a slopey area. His palace is on top. You can look down. All right? But he's not supposed to be at home. It's a time when kings go out to battle. And he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, which was very costly. This mistake was very costly. It cost him his son's life. It cost him many broken hearts. It cost him to cry, oh, my son, my son. It cost a lot of pain for David. It wasn't worth it because this led to murder as well. And all because he didn't discern the time. He didn't flow with God's time in that particular time. He was not at the right place at the right time. You know, many people who commit adultery don't plan to commit adultery. They were caught. They were not fresh in their walk with God. They are not flowing with God. They have no heart for God at that moment when they are caught. Are you listening, people? All right, some people are just loitering around. Amen. Now, you know when God leads you, God will never cause you to divorce your wife. Don't get up from here and say, Pastor Prince, I got a flow. The unforced rhythm of grace is telling me, divorce my wife. You come here, I got a slap anointing for you. That's where it came from. Amen. Slap you back, man, to exist into sanity in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Prince, I have a flow. This evening, the flow says go to a nightclub or a bar. The only thing down there is free flowing is the beer. I know. All right? That's not God, okay? Amen. Come down here. Let me just give you some ministry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't counsel people anymore. People have marriage problems and all that. I let Pastor Henry, Pastor Joshua, Pastor Matthews and all that counsel them because, you know, I got this slap anointing. I don't counsel many people. Let me just tell you this, okay? There are people who fall into sin and they never plan to sin. The whole problem is not that they are lustful or whatever. It's just that they are caught at the wrong place at the wrong time. They're not supposed to be there. Okay?
But Pastor Prince, how can something be so wrong when it feels so right?
Feels so right. Come here. Let me give you some feeling. Hold my hand, brother. Praise God. Pray for me, brother. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm okay now. I'm okay now. Amen. You come here. Hold back again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go by feelings. Huh? Let me tell you, the devil is so subtle that he'll make you feel all kinds of things. Amen. Make you feel like, oh, that person is giving me life in my stagnant marriage. All right? Don't fool yourself. Okay? That's not the flow of God. So I hope you understand enough to know this. Amen. I must qualify my statement about the flow. When people say, I feel the flow, you know, Pastor Prince, I feel the flow. Everything wrong they want to do, they feel the flow. Come here, come here. I'm sorry, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Behave, Joseph Prince. Hallelujah. All right. Church, let's bring this to the nitty-gritty. All right. How can I learn to flow with God? Number one, you have a desire for it. Pray and tell God. You have a desire. God, I want to follow your instruction. Enough. Tonight or today, I've learned enough to know your instructions are best. I cannot lose out by following your instructions. And then, you know what you'll do? All right. Once the desire is there, you'll make time for His word. You'll make time to pray, to talk to Him. Can I have a good amen? You know, you can't say you live by grace if you don't talk to God. Because you know what grace is all about? Grace is this. I cannot do it, so I need to pray. I need to involve God. I cannot throw this ball, so I need to call God. Amen? That's what grace is all about. Grace means you don't depend on your own resources. You don't depend on your own giftings. You don't depend on your own talents. You depend on the Lord. And if you depend on the Lord, you'll pray a lot. I'm not talking about the kind of religious kind of 3 hours prayer in one spot on your knees all the time. All right? I'm talking about a flow with God during the day. When you need some divine intervention, you need some help, pray, talk to Him. While you're driving, you can talk to Him. All right? But watch and pray. Don't close your eyes. Amen. You're driving especially. Amen. Throughout the whole day, you can talk to God. In fact, the more you believe is by grace, the more you talk to Him and involve Him. Involve His power. Involve His mercy. Involve His favor. Involve His intervention. Can I have a good amen? So the first thing you need to do is to have a desire. And I pray that all of you will have a desire by now. If you're truly born again, I believe all of you have an initial desire already. But based on this message here today, I believe it's strengthened. Amen? Amen? Amen.
Hee-haw.
Amen?
Hee-haw.
Did I hear that? Alright, number two is found in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 says, because of time, we won't turn to it, okay? Just listen to me. This is one of those passages. Take down somewhere in your mind Isaiah 55, and then one of your toilet times, you can read it. Okay, I'll go home, you can read it. Because of time, we won't be reading the whole passage. But Isaiah 55 says, God says, so is my word that comes down from heaven. It's like snow, it's like rain. It waters the earth and causes the earth to bring forth and bud and blossom. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. In other words, spend time in His word. All right. If you want that inner guidance to be stronger, there's no other way I know of except to spend time in His word. And then the Lord says this. Listen, the next verse that follows is this. If you spend time in His word, this will happen. You will go out with joy. And you'll be led forth with peace, it says. You'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Now, I'm sure all of you experienced this before, where, you know, you had such a strong sense of peace that day. Maybe you spend time in the word or whatever, and you have a strong sense of peace. And during that day, you are able to make decisions based on the peace or the lack of it. On that day, you may have an offer that comes. You must sign it today. Today is the only time that this deal is good. You must sign it without having to read the headlines. Let's say you don't feel peaceful about it. There's a restlessness. There's a scratchiness deep down. All right. You don't sign. You don't have to know everything. If there's no peace, don't do it. But sometimes there's a peace that comes. All right. When you want to do something for someone or whatever and you feel a peace, do it. That's how you flow with Jesus. You are yoked with Him and He will lead you by the peace or the lack of peace. The lack of peace is also guidance, you know. If there's no peace, that means what? Don't do it. It's also guidance. In fact, many a times God guides me with the lack of peace. Because you know what? Christians are being peaceful all the time. When Christians say things like, God guides you by the peace, you know, I think, what do you mean? Most of the time you are restless, then the peace comes? No, we are supposed to be at peace all the time. And then when something hinders that peace, we know it's not God. All right. In other words, God guides with lack of peace, because you are supposed to be peaceful all the time. Can I have a good amen? If you know someone and for some reason there's always no peace, this person can be smiling, you know, like Bruce. sharp teeth, and from Finding Nemo, okay? In case you're wondering what's happened, who is this Bruce? And sorry, I watched the show with Jessica, right? And you know, you can be friendly, you meet someone who's charming and all that, but something inside you doesn't really sit well with this person. You know what? Don't get to know the person deeper. Amen. There's something God is telling you. How many are glad that God goes beyond your IQ? You don't have to be smart to flow with God. Turn to your neighbor and say this. You don't have to be smart to flow with God. It's a powerful statement. I tell you, it's a powerful statement. You don't have to be smart to flow with God. You don't have to be smart to flow with God. At the end, you know, people say things like, for example, recently there was a case whereby this guy came forward in church. He's a Caucasian, and one of our sisters got to know him. She's interested in him. And I never met him before in my life. Never met him before. He came down here, right down here. And I treasure the sister because she's a dear sister to our church. And he met me and said, Pastor Prince, I'm so glad with your messages. I receive your messages from her, this girl. And I'm really blown away by your teachings. You know, it's really great. So I look at him. And all the while inside here, there is something. All he said, in fact, he's flattering me also. He's saying good things about me, isn't it? Right? But all the while, you know. So when he was not around, I talked to her. I said, be careful about him. Now, I don't say that to everybody. I say that. I'm just telling you, be careful about him. All right? I don't know why. There's something, you know. Now, a few weeks later, all right, she was crying when I met her. And she told me this, Pastor, you are right. Pastor, you are right. You know, that guy came to Singapore. Actually, he was another girl. Just playing around with me. Now, she didn't go too far with him, thank God. Because of what I said, you know, that whole held her back. And when he found that he didn't have a chance with her, he went for another one. Amen. And she was crying. But you know what? I told her, God loves you. God wants you. Amen. Amen. So you know what? We make friends like that. We don't go by, you know, you're such a wonderful person. I love your mustache. You remind me of Omar Sharif. Has your wife ever told you how handsome you are? Oh, man. Then he walks away. Oh, yo, praise God! No, I'm just kidding. No. He's a man of discernment. Amen. He's a man of discernment. Amen. And there are guys who are suckers, I mean, especially when they're advancing towards the midlife. Amen. A flattering mouth comes only, you know, they really think the world of. I mean, every guy in front of me here, every leader, including myself, can start an affair anytime. So don't flatter yourself just because someone has attention or eyes on you. Anyone can start an affair, but we don't because of choice. Because we love our partners. We're faithful to God. Amen. So don't start feeling flattered because someone younger likes you. Are you listening? I think guys were advancing, you know, they come to their 30s and 40s, or something, they start thinking, am I still attractive? You don't need a young pea hand to tell you, okay? Be secure in God, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Now, I want this church to be flowing with God. I want this church to be a church that, you know, if you feel desire to, like, call up this sister, SMS this brother with an encouraging word, don't say, is this God? Oh, Askari Pai say, I call him, there's nothing wrong or whatever. I feel, flow with God. And many a times I'm telling you, you know, we give them a word and all that. They say, how did you know I was going through this time? How did you know I was facing this? It's a great encouragement. I mean, don't you think so? Some of you experienced that, isn't it? You're going through a bad time and someone calls you. I don't know what you're going through, but you know what? You came to my heart just now and I felt God's favor shining on you. Whatever you're going through, God tells me He's paying attention on you. Won't that change your life? Now, yesterday I had an experience. I was bathing towards the end of the day, you know, after a heavy day bathing. And towards the end of my bath, God spoke to me. God told me, all right, to call up Brother Chin Hua. He's the president of the campus ministry. Now, his wife is due anytime, these 2 weeks, you know, and the Lord told me, tell him to go home early tonight and sleep. So I came out, I told Wendy first, hey, I got very funny instruction from God. And I told her what happened. You know, God says to call up Chin Hua. And I've never called Brother Chin Hua to give him a word from God by phone. This is the first time. And when I called him, he was still ministering in the campus in the evening. And his personal assistant picked up the phone and said, Pastor Prince, he's still ministering and all that. So I'll get him to call you after he finished. So when he called me afterwards, I said, hey, listen, all right, God spoke to me just now while I was bathing to tell you, all right, don't hang around because he's been known to spend late night sometimes. Tonight, go home early and sleep. After you eat, after you bathe, sleep. Yes, Pastor. I'm away home now, right now, he says. And this morning, 7:45, he called me. He paged me, rather, saying that his wife is now in the delivery ward. And God gave him ample time to sleep. Isn't God good? Doesn't God care for things like this? Yeah, he cares for small things like this. God loves him. After I finished the first service, at the end of the first service, someone came and said, the message came in, Pauline gave birth already. Amen, this morning. Now, you know, when I read the Bible, and I read the book of Deuteronomy, where it says God gives instructions on how to handle a nest, a bird's nest, when you find it. You know, it tells me the God of heaven and earth will give us minute details about how to handle a bird's nest. That is so touching. That tells us he wants to be involved in every area of your life. Your relationship with your children, your wife, your spouse, your work, your health. Hey man, if you're suffering in your health, all right, besides claiming the word of God, which is the number one way for health, also ask him here and there, Lord, am I missing it anywhere? Lord, tell me. For one person, he may say something else. Another person, he may say, you need more exercise. Another person might say, you need to cut down on meat. You're eating too much meat. Is God that practical? Yes. And then what? Not only he gives a word, he gives you a desire to carry out that word. Now it's up to you. You must really rebel against that desire to disobey. Amen. Have you all learning something? Yes. Amen. So you find that flow is not strong. That means you are neglecting God's word. It's time for you to put Bibles in all over your house. And when the flow comes, read it. And the flow will come because God's word is meant to feed you. Amen. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't have to be smart to flow with God. Amen. You only have to be attentive. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus.